Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Exclusively on CBS All Access, a legend returns.
I have a mission. There's not a hell of a chance for somebody to stop me.
Patrick Stewart in Star Trek Picard. Now streaming only on CBS All Access.
Welcome to the Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm Dominic Patton, still recovering from my February illness. Now, this is episode 6, The Impossible Box. Now, we're over the halfway point in Picard, and we're moving into some really serious things here because, as we've seen over the last few weeks, there's been episodes that have been a setup with what we would call an Act 1. There's been some standalones, and now we are at the Borg, and we have some very Borgable guests with us today. We have executive producer Akiva Goldsman joining us today and special guest Jonathan Frakes teasing when we may see him again. So take a listen. So we've now passed the halfway point. We're now at episode 6, The Impossible Box. And
formerly episode 5.
By the way, should we announce that Mr. Jonathan Frakes is joining us again, and he gets to
kibitz.
You just can do whatever you want in this one. You're the special guest.
Put your top back on.
Thank you.
Nobody sees that on radio or podcasts.
What?
I know, it's great. We don't do the Stern thing. We don't film the podcast.
No.
Honestly, no. That's why we did one of them in a jacuzzi. It was great. People thought it was real outer space.
Why am I wearing this outfit?
I don't know. You weren't in the jacuzzi episode. I know that.
Awkward.
Yes, I know. Very much so. So let's talk about this. So we've gotten over the halfway point. And this is – Picard is now back at the Borg. This is a return to the scene of, let's call it, the original crime. How did we get here and what does it mean to be here now?
Well, I mean – it's interesting you call it the original crime. I would say it's returned to the scene of, if not the original, then the most salient trauma, right? This is where Picard became
Locutus of Borg.
And this was an interesting thing for us because we didn't want to, and Patrick really did not want to, and charged us not to tread over any old ground when it came to the Borg. He was hesitant to have the Borg in the show at all. He's like, we've been there, done that. So we really needed to try to do something new and deeper and different with it. Different Borg, different reaction.
Borg cube's Borg. Really an artifact.
Yeah.
The Romulans are really running the joint now. There's no Borg queen.
Which is cool.
It doesn't feel like the Borg of contact.
I totally think it does.
Does it? Interesting.
No, they're deconstructed and so they look like they're the losers.
I am going to fanboy it right out. Let's call those 2.5 episodes of TNG with the Borg, I think are like 2 hours and a bit of the greatest television ever made. I really do. That shit changed my life. Like, as a viewer, it's probably one of the reasons why
Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and 2.
I love that. I love that. And I think that when you come to this, what you're coming to is it's like someone dredging the Titanic, or actually better, it's like someone trying to rebuild the Hindenburg in New Jersey. Like this is a massive explosion that now you're just sitting and you are, I guess it's an improper phrase maybe in space, but you're watching the blast radius. You're watching it happen. It's fantastic.
Good. I mean, look, this was part of what we tried to slow play getting here, so getting here would feel that way. Both to you and to Picard, because there's a lot of organizing the point of view of the narrative around Picard. Like, even though it's a multi-character show, he's the fundamental tether emotionally. And this is a big deal for him. So, look, we teased it in episode one, which means you know he's going to get there eventually. It's eventually. It was supposed to be emotionally resonant.
Is that the alternative title of episode six? Eventually?
No, it was Man of La Mancha, but it turned out it was Taken, which was weird, because I thought it was.
I know. It's like how you want to call episode one Farewell to Arms, and then someone came along.
What's wrong with that? It's not the work.
But remember what I said is it's saying the same as the way it's saying is you meet someone 20 years later who you were very close. It's like meeting an ex on the street and you're like, whoa. And you're like, wow, you really held it together. You look amazing. And oh my God, you're a senator. That's fantastic. Like, you know, this and that. And you see them, but you can't separate the emotion that you knew then with the evolution you're watching now. And, you know, some will say, well, is this evolution? I mean, the thing's half blown up and it's being overrun by people as if they were rats to get whatever they can get out of it. But you clearly.
It resonated with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this to me is actually one of the.
And I'm cold hearted.
I can tell.
Yeah. If hearted at all. Boom. Let's be honest. Nobody
Stone. Knows.
Could just be a
black
empty space.
You think Robert Downey Jr., what Iron Man has resonates more than what I got?
Yeah. Well, because he has.
Yeah. You can plug that thing in. I'm like,
yeah.
Cold.
By the way, my cell phone broke when I walked in.
That's why none of them are ringing.
No, I know. But we're working with that's a value that is unique to this. If we get it right and we try really hard, and it's true with every characterization in the show of any person or element of one of the original series, most particularly Next Gen, which is what did you as a fan imagine would happen to blank and what has happened? And how did those two things interact in order to create story? And it can't be the only way we tell story, because we're trying to tell a story for folks who don't know. But that layering is also, I think, what gets us off in the room a lot, which is, no, where's Riker today? Wait, you mean he's not still on the bridge of that starship? Who's he with? Is he still married? Do they have kids? Like, what happened to the Borg? Like, these are the things that actually deeply, secretly, we have to stop ourselves from only doing, because that's the fan problem, right? Is we would just tell story after story.
Okay, but that's a good point. And being that we have Riker in the room, and we do know that he shows up later, is how do you not kind of just front load with all that? Because that's the temptation to want to do it. And I think that's a temptation a lot of fans were looking for. They're like, just give me what he had before, but just give it to me again. You know, give me new versions of that.
Is it inappropriate to ask, when this show broke and I was brought on to direct, Riker wasn't part of the 10-episode package.
Nope.
Something changed.
Yeah. Well, so we were building story. Like, we try really hard to build story based on story. And
which I hear works.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. And then every time we are in the room, well, Michael and I always joke about the Gorn. We're like, can we get the Gorn in? Because Michael and I both love the Gorn.
Oh my God, I have to leave the geek out. Sorry.
Michael and I each have
Day-glow
Gorn
painting.
Felt paintings on our walls. Which were made for a scene that never got.
No one can see on a podcast. I'm deliberately avoiding eye contact with you at this moment.
So we call it the Gorn test, because all we want to do is get a Gorn in. And each time we say Gorn, it becomes clear that the only
Alex cut around the Gorn, he cut which I had the on the painting. Walls.
Oh, my God. Yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
Bastard. we do the Gorn test, which is, would a Gorn work here? And then the question is, could something else work better? Are you only making it a Gorn because you want to see Gorn. A Gorn? Ergo that. So.
Episode 9.
We suddenly found Jean-Luc in a position where he could trust no one, not even himself. And after all the, well, wouldn't his crew be Riker and LaForge? And wouldn't he be traveling in space with? We got all the way to, oh my God, who's he going to listen to? And that's where Riker came, you know? And so it wasn't to get Jonathan back. We had Jonathan. He was there. It was fun. You know, we didn't have to, you know, get him back to the character. But suddenly when you bring him back to the character for that reason, and then he inhabits the character, then you're just 9 years old. then you're just literally giggling with delight. And, you know, it's my favorite episode of the season. I had nothing to do with that episode except give a couple of notes and watch it. But it's...
Will you be our special guest when we have that episode?
Oh, if you want somebody to just quell over it, fuck yes.
I always want someone to do that. Yeah,
no, it's... You haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen that one yet. No.
You're going to lose your mind.
Yeah, you know, a mind is such a dangerous thing to lose.
Marina Sirti's work. I watched it because I just did The Ready Room. And I've worked with Marina for many, many years. And she's a dear friend. And she's a fabulous actor. And when she's feeling the feels of the major theme of this episode, I started to cry. I'm looking at it on a fucking computer, and this is a friend of mine, and she took me apart.
You are in love with her. With it. A program. A machine. Enough, Narek. Taking control of this operation as of now.
Every piece of synthetic design serves a purpose. Why give her dreams? Why give her nightmares?
It's a malfunction. A bug.
It's exactly the opposite.
I'm listening.
Her neural pathways are auto-heuristic. Always seeking and forming more efficient connections. Every day. That capability must bump against clear evidence that she is not, as she believes, a human being. That cognitive dissonance must go somewhere.
You're saying the robot girl has an unconscious?
Yes.
I feel like one of the greatest risks of Picard, and I think this is one that I've had people who listen to the podcast come up to me or send me emails about this and stuff like that, and there is this push and pull. They're like, okay, so... he's here. Jean-Luc's in the house. Great. But can we have a little Riker? Can we have a little this? Can we have a little that? There's this push and pull between old crew, new crew, old crew. And episode 6 to me is with Evan and Michelle and Allison and Santiago and Issa as well, kind of outside the crew, but obviously within the regulars. This is where it's like, this is their show. There and now, this is a show. I've had my first three episodes of Act 1, which set everything up. Patrick says the magic word that everyone jumps up and down because they finally heard it. I've had two episodes which have kind of taken me to different worlds and different places. And now I'm with the captain, and he's on.
Yes, and then what you'll see is with that established core, it starts to open out a little bit again.
You can't just leave that there like
oh,
that.
Oh, no, you I can't. It's can't amazing how it like can.
We're going to have another episode next week.
Issa falls through the floor into this infinity that Picard... I mean, the end of the... It's kind of a great cliffhanger, the end of 6.
I mean, exactly. And I would actually say that's a very good analogy for where we're at now. Because, you know, if you look at a 10...
Where is he going?
Yeah, exactly. Like, where is all this going? Because if you look at it, you know, you guys know more than anyone, right? The layout of this land could be very like, okay, I get it. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. He's going to do this, right? You threw a lot of that away, which is great, I think. And I think that people who didn't think that was great have come around to be like, no, that works for me. Because it turns out it's not 1994. It's not 1988. And I'm good with that. But I think the other thing here is like, okay, so you do Act 1, you do Act 2, you do Act 3, and then, you know, something's going to happen and solve the day and, like, engage some more.
It took him 6 episodes to find her.
Yeah, exactly.
It took him half the season to find her.
On a regular show, for lack of a better expression, this is supposed to happen by episode 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were well aware of that.
It's a long engagement.
Ouch. You're dying for that one.
I was dying.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
I also think that the introduction of the regular characters was handled wonderfully. Slowly. We had a chance to fall in love with them individually. And Rafi's got a huge following now. And she's a great, damaged, wonderful actor, or wonderful character.
Michelle's fantastic.
Michelle's great.
Yeah.
Allison Pill is on another world. She can play anything she wants.
And I would also say, you know, kind of as a slow burn, or maybe you don't quite see her on the stage front right away, but Peyton List.
Oh,
we were just... we love that Peyton. I had no idea she wasn't English.
I didn't either.
No idea.
It's like no one knows who Hugh Laurie actually is.
Right. That's right. No, she's special. She's amazing. She and Harry have a great thing. As you can probably see, originally they were written to be brother, sister, and lovers. And they're still some color of that
resonance.
Yeah. I probably was not shockingly the one who really thought that was a good idea. I'm an only child, so it was easy.
Imaginary friends galore.
Why do you judge? But you can still feel that between them.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's amazing. He's amazing. They're fun together.
There's still this, as the show is happening, there's also this further exploration of what the fuck are Romulans and how does this all work?
Mm-hmm. I always thought the Romulans are cool. We had our best and most famous Romulan from Next Gen was an actor named Andreas Katsoulis, who was part of a French mime troupe. And he was about 6'8". And he scared the shit out of us. And he was spectacular. He embodied the Romulan. And that's sort of, that's who I always think of as the, and they all had those shoulder pads. They're all gone now. These Romulans are smoother.
And that's cool. What makes them deadlier.
Oh, they don't have.
And they wear Ray-Bans.
Yes, but they don't have disintegrating spit. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Those are tablets that they bite. In order to...
In episode 4, formerly die. 3, a Romulan has his head cut off and the green blood leaks out of his neck. You dig that?
I dig was not the word I would use, but I definitely thought it was something cool. I mean, here's the thing is I always... Back in the day, you know, you always... Because this is what science fiction does, right? Science fiction is really about today, but you're telling it in another way, clearly. To me, the Klingons were always the Soviet Empire. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the Federation was do good America / NATO, depending on how you want to look at it. And the Romulans were always Mao's China. This like they literally were. There was a metaphysical wall. They were behind it. Whatever happened in there, and even to this day, you know, what comes out of China, we're always a little like, is that really what's happening in there? You know, I think that's part of it. It's a culture built on mystery. It's a culture built on secrecy. It's a culture built on unknowables. Which I just think is a gift if you're telling that story.
And now we have a Paklid as a president.
One of the things we see in episode 6, which is interesting, is we see Patrick and Jonathan.
DeLarco.
We see Hugh. There's this reunion of sorts. And I found it very uncomfortable. If you think about the Borg, and you've mentioned this before, if you think about the Borg and what happened as a trauma, as a form of abuse... Mm. There is, you know, you hear these stories about things that have happened to people when they're young and they meet their abusers or they meet elements of that. And it's just a freezing moment because all of what happened comes back and you're seeing it in front of you.
Well, Picard says that to him. How could you possibly work here? And Hugh essentially says, someone has to.
Yeah.
And, you know, Picard is, you know, is aware of Hugh's separation, his having been left behind on that other world. And Hugh, we have a whole story, none of which matters, but which we have, which is when the artifact was, when the treaties for the artifact were created, and it became clear that the Borg were being harvested, that Hugh took initiative and came to the artifact in order to sort of present himself as a provisional governor in order to fight for to stand up for the rights of what he would call the XBs. And, you know, then the Romulan Federation treaties sort of became little beyond vestigial. And Hugh now has this task that he's sort of, you know, fighting for, which is to find some liberation for these folks.
Some civility in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, which
the reclamation
is, and that's project. You know that's self-healing and the healing of those who are abused. I wished I could tell you that, and now we will articulate that story out in its conclusion in a thorough way. We won't, but you know, but that's what we're touching on.
How much of that is a part of this overall as a series, like having these unknown or deep dive backstories?
How do you mean? How much of it? We do it all the time.
But I guess I'm interested more in the journey, not the destination. Like how do you do that? Like, do you sit with Kirsten? You guys were like, okay, well, this would have happened in year four, between the 20 years.
It's everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And we sit there and we talk about it and we make it up and we try it on and we run it up against what we know and we run it up against what we imagine. And
do you run it up against Patrick?
Yes, we run up against Patrick. I mean, not Hugh's fate, we didn't run up against Patrick. But, you know.
No, I just know that he's very committed to being, as well as being the star of this, of being an executive producer and being a part of that creative process.
And he is. And so what happens is, so for example, Riker's fate was something that we talked to Patrick about before we talked to Jonathan about it. You know, I mean, that's the truth is he is, when it comes to the principal storytelling, he's an EP in the real sense of the word. He'll be in the story room. He's part of the construct of figuring out how we do. He's not the deep dive into the character backstories that are not his. Those are almost their own days, which are typically you have to be a little obsessive about Star Trek to want to like really spend that much time figuring out.
Don't you think that's part of the reason the show is?
I think there are a lot of us that are that.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of people who just want to know exactly where each Ev is and why.
The outcomes are far from ideal.
What you're doing is good, Hugh. There's no need for it to be perfect. After all these years, you're showing what the Borg are underneath. They're victims. Not monsters.
One of the things that happens with iconic television, novels, films, et cetera, you have people who are part of the gang, and you have people who look outside the gang and are like, that's not my thing. And this is one of the things I've always thought has been fascinating about Star Trek, which is maybe it's just not your thing right now, pal, but maybe it's your thing with that guy who used to be on Quantum Leap, or maybe it's your thing with that guy who was on I, Claudius. Maybe you just dig Shatner and that's your thing. Like, it's like, I feel that universe, or maybe you're into that lady who was on The Walking Dead. Like, I feel like that universe is, the Trekverse is such that it takes that essence of great science fiction, which is the story is happening in space and people have lasers and what have you. But this is really about Selma. This is really about women's rights. This is about gay rights. This is about minority rights. These are issues of how, what's the balance between life and work and technology and a analog world, for lack of a better expression. And I feel like the Star Trek world allows you to be, you can call yourself a Trekkie, but maybe you're just a person who's interested in other people, and that has a place for you. I don't know if that's true of many other franchises. I think a lot of other franchises, you got to buy in and you're like, it's a one-way ticket. That you either with that ticket, and I'm not going to name names. Some of those tickets are great. Some of them not so much. But you go with that ticket or you don't go with that ticket. Star Trek, to me, and Picard returning after almost 20 years, says, this is a library. It's got many different floors, many different sections.
That could actually be a commercial for our show.
That was wonderful.
That was really good.
That was wonderful.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
You should do this, bro.
I got another side gig, but I'm trying.
Okay. You know how it goes.
You know, I know that when we were in San Diego, and we missed you, Jonathan, that you weren't there with us because somebody can't organize flights, it seems.
Oh, Jen. Wow, that's true.
We're looking at CBS representatives in the room. But I will say that that's one of the things. Like, you saw that outpour for Patrick.
Right.
But what was interesting is you saw that outpour for Jerry.
Oh.
You know, and that was like, oh, this is a multi-ring circus now, and there are many ringmasters.
It's so smart to put her on the show.
I think I've said this to you before. If I have, I apologize. I was in Toronto doing something else, and they sent a rough cut of that first teaser. And I shouted at the top of my lungs in my hotel room, forgetting I had anything to do with the show. You know,
she's sitting there having a shot of
whiskey. Yeah, she turns around, and you're just like, you know, there are people who are Seven of Nine fans that are as deep as Kirk fans, as deep as Picard fans, you know?
Yeah, and she's so comfortable now and not having to be this sex symbol and not having to wear these skin-tight clothes and not having them pulled in. And she's magnificent, and she's digging it.
And see, that's what I mean. Like, that's if we joke that it's a family show, yeah, in that sense it is. Because everybody has a member of their family they're crazy about, and some members of their family they're not so crazy about. But you find a place to sit beside someone at the table.
Whoa.
Well, that's it for Picard today, our Picard podcast. Thanks for listening to the Star Trek Picard podcast. As you know, you can listen to this podcast every week also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like getting your podcasts. See you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.